Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Anybody, anywhere, anywhere.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
Welcome into Take Command with Logan Paulson. It's been a decade in the NFL. I'm Grant Paulson. You can watch me, listen to me on 106.7 The Fan. Of course, watch this pod on the 106.7 Team 980 YouTube channels. Logan, if it looks like I'm coming to you from the bedroom of like a flimsy backboard in like a child's bedroom at an Airbnb, it's because that's exactly what's happening. How are you?
It's good. I'm glad you clarified, because I was like, man, that's what it looks like. And then you're like, that's exactly what it is. And it's perfect.
Yeah, I'm in an Airbnb. Page. We did a little 3-day weekend getaway before the fall here. And my kids and their cousins are watching a movie.
What movie we got? What's on deck here?
I think it's like Leo the Lizard or something. I'm not really sure. Okay. Some like kids movie from Netflix probably. And then I was like, I'll go upstairs. No problem. And then there's not like a single chair or table up here. So it's like, here we go.
Yeah, here we go.
Bed, pretzel style. Let's do this thing.
Dude, I'm impressed you can do pretzel style. My hips are so arthritic now, I can't even get into it.
You think I'm doing pretzel style? There's zero chance.
Well, I thought maybe. Maybe you're like hypermobile and you're just like sitting there like, you know, in a zen position.
I wish, yeah. In another world, I mean, I would cramp in like 8 seconds, I think, if I did that. But let's talk Commanders football. There's actually a lot to get into on this episode.
Yeah.
Here's going to do your breakdown of the preseason game with the Detroit Lions and start looking ahead to kind of the end of their ramp up. They're going to wrap up camp here with a midweek workout against the Ravens and then a preseason game where they won't play anybody who's first team relevant. But let's just start with the game recap. I mean, so much talk about will they play, won't they play?
Right, yeah.
But every second of all of that discourse back, what a gigantic waste of time. Just a kick to the giblets from Dan Quinn and company. They played them. I'm upset they didn't play them.
Yeah.
The starters got 3 plays for Jaden Daniels in the offense. So I'm like, all right, let's
and then 2 plays for the defense, right? Like, I mean, it was equally correct. As brief for both sides of the football. Yeah.
Yeah. The defense, at least to their credit, they made a play. They got a sack, fumble, scored a touchdown. Yeah, that was good. But on offense, 1st and 10, pressure and complete throwaway. 2nd and 10, sack on a rollout. 3rd and a mile, draw, and let's put on visors and t-shirts for the rest of the day. So
we got to do what we got to do, boys.
Yeah. We can get into that. But what'd you make of 3 plays for the offense?
So 3 plays for the offense, like, I'm probably in the minority, but I came away like kind of, I guess, as optimistic as you can be from 3, and I'll tell you why. So first off, we get out there with 11 personnel, right? We got Terry McLaurin kind of in a tight split, very unusual to the offensive left. We got Stephon Diggs in the slot. We got Treylon Burks out wide. Great. You know what I mean? Then we motion Stephon Diggs to a stack position, and the first play of the game, which I love, is a little choice route, a little option route versus man-to-man coverage. So I love the thought process by David Blau. What's the best way to get Stephon Diggs a touch early in this game? Let's make it happen. And so love choice, right? Because again, like, he's going to push out. Again, it doesn't really work out because the defender, like, it's really interesting to watch that play back and watch it live. Like, Stephon Diggs actually takes a really nice, reminds me of old Santana Moss, nice release, arc release. He's trying to get the defender to play over top of Terry McLaurin, like play over top of the corner route. So then you can just break inside and there's grass in there and you're going to go score a touchdown. But the defender kind of gets in between, kind of plays it almost badly, like kind of runs into the defender that's in front of him. So he gets stuck inside the choice. And so Diggs is like, well, you're stuck in there. I got to break it out. And it's a really long throw to the out. And then Jaden's kind of like, that's too long. Let me get to the back of the flat. So I like the thought process. I like the personnel. I like seeing all those guys in the field. But again, like, there's some detail work there. Like, maybe Terry could tighten his split a little bit. Maybe he doesn't need to work for so much width. But I like the thought process. 2nd play of the game.
Well, let's stay with that play for a second. We're going to go really deep with three plays here the preseason that don't matter that much. But it's the three plays, so we might as well take out a shovel. So what I saw on that play, too, was they run a game up front.
Yep.
And the guy looping around beats Julian Good-Jones. But is that just a, hey, you run a game there and you get got? It's kind of honestly what I asked you about with centers. I'm like, yeah, but why not just get that guy one-on-one to have to make an athletic play in space by running a game? And that's kind of what they did. And it looks like Julian Good-Jones had no answer.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Grant, because I think that's an interesting kind of talking point, kind of about the day, about the offensive line specifically and about Good-Jones. So it is. It is just a little bit of a pick stunt. So what they're doing is they've got somebody on his left shoulder, and they're kind of rushing that left A-gap with the big nose guard there. And then 45 is attacking the left guard's outside shoulder. And during that process, he kind of baits up in a line of scrimmage the linebacker and then works back late. And so when I watched it live, I was like, man, I feel like they should be able to see this because obviously Good-Jones, like this is a plus for him in my mind. Not this play, but this part of the process. You've identified the blitzer. You've got the protection targeted correctly. Your eyes are there. You and Chris Paul are on the same page. Like, why didn't you bump off of this? From the end zone copy, the nose guard grabs his left shoulder pad and pulls him in. So the back judge probably should call a penalty here for holding, but it doesn't. This happens on every play. It's part of football.
I was going to say, welcome to the league. That's going to happen a lot.
These things happen. But again, like that kind of that subtlety of like, hey, here's a little tug. I can't get off as quick. Like he identifies it. But I think that's part of the problem here. Because on the whole, like when you watch Good-Jones, like he had 28 snaps. I watched all of them. I thought he did a pretty good job in pass protection. Like good job helping Goldman on some stuff, working the slides, handling loopers, good vision on that kind of thing. This is one that they got him on, right? So you probably don't even feel this if Stephon Diggs wins in the timing of this play. The ball would be out. But again, I would say Good-Jones and Chris Paul can be better here. You mentioned like this is the league. People are going to get held. But I do remember thinking like, yes, on paper, you want him to bump this off and get off. But again, like having been in that situation, like a combination to a Sam linebacker and the guy grabs you, it's like those are big, strong dudes. And I'm a big, strong dude, but I can't get off. And the way that guy triggers down, I'm going to be late to the block. And so a block that should have
great angles. I'm wondering, would a coach give him a minus on that play? Or are they going to say like, hey, you got held, no problem?
I think what I'd say is like, if I'm coaching him and the coaching I've received is like, I know you're getting held here, but you got to find a way to get it done. And I think that's ultimately what it comes down to, right? It's like, yes, like this is not fair in the context of the game. This is against the rules, but this kind of stuff happens. So let's make sure in the future we have a technique. The way to kind of solve this is don't get so chest to chest with the defender here. You get over there, you're decently using your hands, but we're not at extension, right? If we get to extension, it's harder to grab because you're kind of on him. He's able to grab you. So let's make sure we're using our length and can use our vision and use our quick feet to bump off and get this linebacker coming late. So yes, there are things he could have done prior to probably put himself in a better position. But again, this is football. It's not perfect. You get held, it ends up being a pressure. And again, you don't even feel this pressure if the receivers win in the timing of the play. And no one did anything objectively wrong here, but this is to me the margin of error between a good play and a bad play, right? If Diggs wins on time, ball's out, you don't even feel it, right? If Good-Jones uses his length and kind of pushes this off, you don't even feel the pressure, right? And Jaden's able to work through and get the ball to Allen in the flat. But that's, again, like the margin is so small.
Isn't this the very nature, like when we debate the semantics of should you play in the preseason, should you not? Here's your reason. Like,
yes,
if that's the first play against the Eagles, now Diggs might run it a little bit differently on first and 10.
Correct.
And it's like against the Eagles, you know, you just got a hit on Jaden Daniels or you're 0-for-1 and to behind the chains to start the season. It's like, all right, there's a lesson learned. This is why when people pretend like the preseason has zero merit, it drives me crazy, right?
Yeah.
Because they are running these things and kind of experimenting. So that was the first play of the game. The second play of the game was actually a sack for minus 10 and a half, 11.
Yeah.
And on that play, they run a bootleg. It ends up looking like both tight ends get beat. So John Bates gets beat inside in a kind of a one-on-one situation. And Chig gets kind of driven back. Both of their guys end up in their starters, including DJ Wanham, who's always been one of my favorite edges. That's kind of an underrated guy. I love that dude. He played in Minnesota. He's just super long. He's got like that Danielle Hunter-like build. It's kind of like my kind of guy. But anyway, something was off with the timing of the boot. I thought there was like more to it than just two guys getting beat. But what'd you see there?
Yeah, so this actually isn't like in my to my eye like a true boot. It's kind of like an old like what I would call Wanda protection. So you fake. So like basically what's happening is you're in. They start empty. They shift down to something like kind of akin to like a like north right clamp or snug formation. Tight ends off the ball, receivers in tight splits. And what you're going to do is you're going to have the tight end to the direction of the ball fake, Chigakonko, run across the formation across sift. And kind of settle right off of John Bates's hip. So it ends up being a full slide protection for the offensive line. It helps out because there's no single blocks, but it does put a little bit more pressure on the tight ends because they have the single blocks now. So you're insulating those five guys. And then again, you're putting John Bates and Chigakonko in a little bit of a difficult situation. Jaden's going to kind of do like a half roll, kind of set up right in the pocket and let this thing rip. And so what I will say about this, again, like, you know, there's nuance and colors of gray to everything, is like what I was surprised Detroit did is they got into a ton of 6-2 fronts. And the problem with the 6-2 front, and especially one that they stem to post-snap, is there's a ton of movement. So like if you watch this clip, like John Bates, I think, understands what's going on. Now, you mentioned that the defensive lineman, what's his name, Wanton? Is that his name? I forget his
Wanton.
Name. Wanton, yeah. I like him too, from Minnesota. But like, the way his body is tilted, like he is not a true like head up six technique. He is going to play hard into the C gap violently. And you can just tell John is just a little bit slow to that. And again, you're getting pressure off the edge. So ideally what you'd get is you'd get a nice double team on this end with Chig and John Bates working with vision to the safety. But here, because of how Detroit has presented this front, we're in a 6-2, so everyone's in a single block, and we get a tough matchup on a tight end. Again, I'm speaking from experience. Like, this is a really tough block. You're in a three-point stance or a two-point because he's off the ball, and you have to fight this guy tooth and nail, get your hat across here, deny penetration. It can be really, really challenging, especially like that's something else that I was surprised about is just how loud it was in Detroit. So, like, you haven't worked the silent count. You probably haven't worked this protection too much versus stem 6-2. You've probably worked it versus strike 6-2, but not a stem 6-2. And you just, it's a tough spot. Now, this is not an excuse. It's just like, how much time have they put into this at this point of the year is probably not that much. So, again, okay,
but I hear that. And I say again, I can't help Logan but reiterate they've chosen to play three snaps in August. So, and you've essentially now taken me through two plays where you're like, you know, they just haven't had a lot of time on task here. And it's like, you know, they haven't really seen a lot of this. And I'm going, oh, my God, the Eagles are right over the hill. Please do something to prepare for this.
So it's funny because someone said the same thing. I was having a conversation with one of my producers on the show. We were having like a similar back and forth. And what I want to just bring up to people who have this consternation is one of the things you do in a game plan week is, you know, like we were at practice on, what was that, Thursday? Right?
Yeah.
Or whatever, Wednesday.
Very just like walk through, jog through, carded period kind of thing.
And you remember we talked about the carded period and how they're presenting and they're installing Detroit and all that kind of stuff. How many cards do you think they went through? Probably six.
It wasn't much. I mean, it was
six a period for two periods. It's 12 total cards, right? In a week of game plan prep, you get up in the morning. I'm just going off my old schedule. You get up in the morning, get your workout done, you eat breakfast, you go to special teams meeting. Right after that, you go to offensive install. This is Wednesday. Offensive install, then you go to a walkthrough. And what are you doing that entire time? You're talking Philadelphia first and second down. You're walking through Philadelphia first and second down. You go to practice. You practice Philadelphia first and second down. And then you have a review of Philadelphia first and second down at the end of the day. So people are saying, well, like, shouldn't you be ready for this? Shouldn't you be ready for this? Yes, you should. But if you're actually game planning, then you would have thought about this type of preparation. Like I think about my time in the preseason. Like I said, I played in a ton of preseason games. The amount of preparation you get in one of these games is basically zero. So like for me, a guy who's got to make the team, like I would go on my own and watch film and prep. And because I knew I had to be ready for some nonsense in case we brought it, because I didn't want to look like, you know, get caught with my pants down essentially. Here, like because the prep is so small, even for the coordinators, like the types of runs that you're calling in this game are not traditionally good versus a 6-2. But if you're prepping for Detroit, like actually prepping, you're going to call some different runs because they're better versus 6-2 front spacing. So that's where I kind of say, like, it seems to me like they came out here with kind of a very basic, very vanilla game plan, much like the defense did, and was like, hey, we're going to like see how this goes. And they saw how it went. And like, it just one team brought more spice to the party than the other one. And that's part of the preseason. But to your point, Grant, it's a very valid point. Like you need to make these plays and you need to see these looks. And I understand that feedback, but I also understand that in a real week of game prep, you're going to get more game prep than,
sure,
you know, 12 carded plays in a practice.
It's a really good clarification. I'm glad you make it. I'm an old man shaking his fist at the sea, so I'll move on. But it just, the choice has been made. So now we'll adjust accordingly and we'll see how it looks in week one. But they've chosen to not use August to prepare their starters in game settings. Now they have a practice that they took very seriously and I really liked against Miami. They're going to have another one against Baltimore coming up, obviously. If they only get these three plays with like the two plays we just dissected in great detail and then the draw, and obviously defensively they played their starters for two snaps and there were so many guys banged up that not everyone went. You know, most of the defense will not play at all in the preseason, as it right. were, which isn't their fault. But can you get down with that, to quote Dan Quinn? Like, does that work for you?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes, because I'm trusting Dan Quinn and his process. Like I've said on the show before, for me as a player, I always felt like I needed something more in the preseason, more than this, for example, right? Like I wanted to play a half. I wanted to play, you know, I wanted to play more because I felt like it helped me kind of get in the flow. Like blocking is such a martial art in a way, right? Where it's like, hey, like, oh, my hat, I thought I could keep it flat, but my hat needed to be a little bit farther. Oh, my hands needed to be here. You know what I'm saying? And so like, I always preferred that because I felt like more time on task was better for me. But like we've said on previous shows, some guys don't feel that way. Some guys would rather save the body, you know, kind of stay fresh. Cause I've also said this too. I was talking to Kedrick about this recently and I was like, because I treated the off season training camp preseason so hard, I like attacked it so violently, I didn't feel physically right until probably the week 4 or 5 of the season. So like I can do that because I'm like a special teams rotational guy. But right. if you're a starter stud, like maybe feeling fresher early in the season is more important to you. And I totally understand yeah. that and empathize with that.
The other thing I wanted to ask you just about the three plays we saw was there was a lot made. I mean, I forget like buddies of mine texting me and being like, dude, pass protection's a disaster or whatever. And I think that that's largely overstated. I think you've done a really good job explaining, you know, every play has its own story. In a vacuum, you can't look at this still and say there were two dropbacks.
Yeah.
You know, one was a pressure throwaway and the other was a sack. Like that's not ideal.
Yeah.
It's just from a pure result standpoint. But if I could say this, you know, one guy was a smart aleck and like hit me up. He's like, I hope you're happy. You know, you got your three plays or whatever. And I'm like, first of all, I'm thrilled that Jaden Daniels actually was contacted and I'm not being, right. I'm not joking. Yeah. I think it was huge to get him on the field, to get him out of a game without an injury for the first time since October. You know, for the first time in four games, to like mentally go out there and remember, like, I'm able to be tackled without getting hurt.
Yeah.
You know, that actually was awesome to me that he got wrapped up. He didn't go down. We basically played training camp rules on that snap. Like,
yeah,
right. Cool. And by the way, it was a, you know, foe of a game, NFL defenses, DJ Wanham was coming for his ass. Like, mm-hmm. Let's go. I mean, I actually liked that. Now, would I have preferred him to hit Diggs for 51 yards? Sure. Yeah, that would have been fun too. But, I also wanted like another drive, but I think they'd made up their mind no matter what happens. It's one drive and the drive went the way it went. And so the day was over. That was kind of how it went. But I, for anybody that goes, well, they should not have done that if they're only going to do three. A, I'm annoyed they did 3-2, like three plays and out. Having said that, no, I'm so glad that Daniels played in a game, went through the motions, did pregame and actually got some contact before the Eagles are sending their aliens in to try to, you know, do damage.
Yeah. And so, yes. But the other thing I liked about this, and again, like this is a little bit glass half full because you could do it the other way. You could say, oh,
yeah,
two sacks or a pressure and a sack and a draw. Like, what are we really gleaning from that? Like, I like the process of like what I'm seeing, like stuff you've seen in practice. So, hey, what first play of the game, we're trying to get one of our big time free agents the ball early in a game on a route that he's good at. The second play of the game, we give the quarterback some autonomy at the line of scrimmage. We give him a shift to kind of identify coverage. He identifies it correctly. He checks the play. We get Treylon Burks running wide open down the middle of the field. If we can protect it, like that might, I'm not saying it's going to be a touchdown because there's a safety there, but it's going to be a huge chunk play. And all the things that we've been talking about, been calling for, been asking for, were there in those first two plays of the game. So like in terms of like what this thing looks like, I'm excited about it. Now the execution has to get better 100%. Like I'm not here to say like, oh, you know, John Bates will get that. Like John knows that, right? Chukwukonkwo knows it.
By the way, can I say that the least of my concerns is John Bates blocking? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
So that's a play where we're like, oh boy, like, don't care about that at all. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'll be fine.
Yep.
If now the Julian Good Jones one, if I'm just being honest, like, that is a confirmation of my priors where I'm going, I don't really love this. And then the first play is a pressure from where he is, and you've gone through the play itself. But it does, like, when you go in nervous a little bit, when you're like, you know, you leave your car with the keys in it in like the middle of the city where you shouldn't, and then like you come back and the windows looks like it's broken, like you get a little nervous. Then you walk up, you're like, oh, I just left my window down. It's not actually breaking. Everything's fine. You know, but at the same time, you know, I'm like already going in anxious about Good Jones. He played a lot, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, he's currently their starter. He was deep into the second half back on the field. Like, I don't
know. Yes. So
Golden being on the playing guard, I think that was a big part of it. And they just light on center, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it was. So as you're walking the bench, all of a sudden you walk by the quarterbacks and you'll see, you know, Coach Williams kind of going over the quarterbacks and be like, hey, Matt's at guard. You know, Good Jones is going back to center. Right. And so, like, they was obviously kind of a conscientious thing to rotate through to see Golden, et cetera. And I will say this about Good Jones. Like, I know that first play is tough and like the PFF grade reflects that he shouldn't give up a pressure on the first play of a game, but I thought he did a good job with other protections in the game, other hat placement things, and versus stuff that, again, I'm not sure how much you prepped. Like, how many times have you run, you know, buck sweep or whatever that is, like that kind of pulling both guards to the perimeter versus a six man front? Or how many times do you run an outside zone versus six man front? And I thought they, when he was in there, he called it pretty well. He got guys on the same page. And again, was it perfect? No, but it kind of gave me some confidence that, like, if he is starting week one, you can get through a game with him. Now, I don't know how that's going to shake out, but like, first play tough, but I thought it was better as the game went on after.
Let me ask you real quick. We're going a little long here, but I think it's important because it's what everyone's talking about on Pass Pro.
Yeah.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Obviously, you don't come out of this with like the same feeling that it's perilous, like a lot of people that are panicking, nor should you, because you're way more kind of in tune with what led up to this. And you know what I mean? You get the inner workings of it. But I wonder first, like, just from a watching those couple plays, is it fair to say you're not overly concerned? And then also take this game out of it. These three plays don't matter.
Yeah.
Are you not concerned about pass protection really at all? Or would you say you are?
I am concerned about it because it is a huge part of the offense, but I'm concerned about it every year because, and I'll tell you why. So when you're working pass protection rules, it's not me winning a one-on-one necessarily with how defenses are rushing. And I think this game is a really good example of that. So for example, like, I think Wiley had a pretty good game. I think Golden overall had a decent game, but I'm going to explain why, like, he's got a 33 PFF grade and explain what that looks like. You know, I think Trent Scott did some good stuff, but it's how those five dudes play together. So there's one play that I'm thinking of specifically. I think it was a 3rd and 9, and they basically had kind of pushed the front. They kind of got in one of these overload fronts where it's an end really wide, a three technique really wide, and there's a shade to Good Jones's outside right shoulder. And during that, right, Wiley tries to jump the end. He tries to like be an aggressive on a 45 degree angle, but with that, and he's probably going to win that rep. But with that wide three technique, almost a 4-eye, like, and you get on different levels from the guard, you open yourself up to games. So like understanding the inner workings of the offensive line and basically saying like there was another play, and I'll talk about both of them. And so basically Golden gets the defensive lineman attacks his edge. Wiley gets picked. They loop around. Good Jones does a great job passing off the looping nose to Chris Paul and then chins the defensive end in the face, but there's a pressure on Golden because they're on different levels. So that's not any one individual's fault. That's both those guys' fault. And then Good Jones kind of saves the day in the 12th hour. There's another play earlier in the game where it's Connerly and Cosme, and Cosme, it's the same pressure, punches the three technique so hard it looks like his knees are about to buckle. He passes it off to the center easily. And then Connerly's guy tries to win inside and Cosby's able to chin that guy in the face. So like in terms of three people working together, the first group obviously looked way more dynamic in that regard, while the second group is kind of working through the interpersonal relationships of again, there's a rookie in there. There's a guy with not a ton of experience. You got Andrew Wiley on the end. They haven't played with each other that much. And so I coached this tackle who said this to me, is like, I'm only as good in pass pro as my guard is. And so like, it's really the five guys coming together that is the thing that I'm like worried about, because it's, there's new pieces moving around because of the Laremy Tunsil injury.
Logan Paulson, Grant Paulson, take command. I'm just looking back at a couple of other plays. What, overall, how did you feel like Golden played at guard? I'm thinking about that screen.
Oh yeah.
Reynolds, where he got blown up. And coach me on this, because I watched that and he's kind of slow to get out there. And it does not look like he moves well in space, but I don't want to make some universal statement on one rep. I have no idea. Yeah. But to me, he looks like a center playing guard on that play, if that makes sense. Does that make sense a little bit? Like, I'm like, okay. But it could just be one rep.
I think that's a fair description of it. And I was thinking about it. I was like, man, this is like definitely not as good as it was versus Miami from Golden. But it's also the first time that he's played guard. So, like, you know, some of those, like depth of set in relation to the tackle, like passing stuff off, it's different at guard, right? And so, like, physically, I think he's fine, right? I think he's totally, like, it's the same thing for Togiai. Like, Togiai does some awesome stuff. Like, you're like, holy cow, that guy's a rookie undrafted free agent. Like, that's amazing. And then the next play, you'll see him do something that a rookie undrafted free agent will do, where he, like, overreaches something or undersets it. And, like, that's part of the process of, like, offensive line kind of reaching their ascension in year three, is that it takes time to, like, learn all the techniques and all the nuances, right? So Golden, I'm like, oh yeah, that's really good hat placement there. Oh, hey, that's a nice little reach there. Or, but like, there's also, that's an underset, or, hey, we got to be ready for the game here. Or, hey, this double team, we got to be more vertical because you haven't played a lot of guard. And so I think there's a lack of experience. Now, to your point, I do think when he gets in space, he's not like Good Jones is decent in space. He actually moves pretty good. Like, he's got kind of a natural, like, lateral quickness to him.
I that's feel not how better about built. Him moving than, like, being a big, strong guy. Golden's the opposite.
Yeah. I think that's a really good description. Like, Golden's, like, really stout. He's got a really good anchor. He can kind of drive off the spot. And when I look at him in space, he's got to work on that a little bit more. He's got to cultivate that skill set. He understands targets and landmarks really well. It's just about continuing to develop that as we move forward with him. And again, like, he's a young player. He's a sixth round pick. I think he's exceeding expectations currently. But anytime you get a new offensive lineman in any system, there's going to be bumps and bruises. Like, think about Connerly last year. Like, think about where he was at this point. It's like, and I don't know if he's going to be able to play, but it's the reps. It's the time on task. It's seeing the different patterns, the different stunts, the different spacings. And eventually they figure it out. And he seems like he's wired the right way. Just, does he figure it out now, or does he figure it out week 8? Because that's definitely going to impact how the 53-man roster shakes out.
All right, let's come back and get to some of the guys that really stood out positively in this game. I've got a couple of dudes that I thought were excellent. I want to see if you agree. Also see who you really liked watching the tape. We're breaking down the preseason game in Detroit from this weekend, and then we'll look ahead to the end of camp kind of unofficially here this week with the joint practice coming up against the Ravens. It's Take Command.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.